Welcome to New Generation Church with Pastor Eddie Merino.
And this morning I want to share with you, to start off the first Sunday of this year, as we're going to take communion today also, if you will open your Bibles with me, Proverbs chapter 3, and welcome everyone. Proverbs chapter 3. Now I'm going to start off on verse 1. There's a scripture in the Bible that says, the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. My title this morning is Wisdom 2025 for your life. Wisdom 2025. And I'm going to focus these next Sundays, but today I'm going to focus on the first five verses in Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. And I believe that there is lots of wisdom. Proverbs is known for a book of wisdom, but we're going to see what God has to say. Do you guys have it? Proverbs chapter 3. It says, my son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. Verse 2. For the length of days and long life and peace, they will add to you. Verse 3 says, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and men. And lastly, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. A man by the name of Tim Hill, I was listening to this podcast, and he said these words. Most of us have two lives. The lives we live, but then he said, and the lives we are capable of. But I'll say it this way, and the lives that we are capable of with God. Can you imagine this year, 2025, that you and I can live a life in which we are capable of. Like it says in the word, where God can do more than we ask or think of, according to the power that works in us. In this proverb, it says, my son, do not forget my law. How important it is, church. Do not forget the law of God. Or I'll put it simpler, don't forget about the word of God. The word of God is life. Notice he says, my son, do not forget my law. That word forget in the Hebrew speaks of unaware or to lose or to drop. I would encourage you that don't drop don't forget about the Word of God. You may drop any other thing, but don't drop the Word in your spiritual walk, in your life. I'll go even further. Drop anything that is not beneficial for your life. Or drop anything that is not edifying or inspiring for your life. But do not forget the law, the Word of God, church. There is wisdom in the Word of God for your life of how to live here on earth. So he says, my son, do not forget my law. So once again, don't drop the Word. But he says, but let your heart, notice he says, let your heart keep my commands. What is he saying? He says, don't forget my law, but then he says, but let your heart keep my commands. Again, the Word, God's commands, his Word. He says, keep. And that word speaks of to guard, protect. You and I, church, we have a responsibility to guard and protect his commands, his Word. I would encourage you that this year, as I am assuming and believing, that you have started off reading the Word of God, the Bible. Protect, guard your time in the Word. Your fellowship with God, your devotion time, protect it. Guard it. Your time with God is going to say a lot about you. The fruit that you will reap. And I encourage you this morning, like the Word of God says, but let your heart keep my commands. Put a sign right there that says private property. Private property in this place. My alone time with God in reading his Word, in reading his commands. He says, but let your heart keep my commands. Now, there's a reason why. Why is it important not to forget his law and to keep his commands in your heart? And here it is. He says, for length of days and long life and peace, they will add. Notice it says, they will add to you. Now, you hear all the time, life is short. But life is exciting when you serve God. I'm going to say that again. Life is exciting when you serve Jesus. That's why it is important that you protect, you guard your time, your heart, for his Word. Like a couple days ago, I read, or not read, I listened. This man, he's giving his story that in the 1970s, he had bought a house, a fixer-up. And he begins to say that that house was run down. It was a horrible house. But he began to remodel the house. Let me ask you this morning, does anybody need some remodeling in your life? So he started to remodel the house. But during that time, before he moved in, there were a gang. And they would go to the house and they would hang out and do their things in that house. So when this man... We're talking in this is a real life story in the 70s. So he says that when he began to remodel, to do the fixing in that house, they broke in four times. Out of those four times, they took all of his tools. But something, this is what he said, but something inside of me, he said, was saying, he was saying to himself, I will not get chased out of my house. In other words, he was saying, this is my house. And I'm not going to permit anybody take over my house. Are you getting the message this morning? See, you got to protect, church. You got to guard your time, your fellowship with God. And he says, and I'm going to do whatever I have to do, even if I have to put up a fight. He says, I'm a fight. So as time went by, he says that there was two neighbors. One of the neighbors went and told them and said, you know what? We saw the gang outside in front of your house, and I overheard that they were saying that they were going to wait a little bit more as you begin to fix it more. They're going to wait a little bit more, and they're going to go in and wreck it up again, mess it up. So the story goes on to say that when he heard that, he said that his heart sank when he heard the news. But because inside of him, he was saying, you know what, if I have to put up a fight, I'm going to put up a fight. So what did he do? He nailed all the doors, all the windows. He did everything to protect his house so that that gang, those people, will not go in. And the time came when that gang went on a Saturday. And it was 1 a.m, he says, as inside the house, he could hear them talking. They're trying to go in. They're trying to do everything. They would go to the front. They would go to the side. They would go to the back. And he could just hear them saying, you know, how do we get in? But then after a time, he noticed that they started leaving little by little. And he could hear when they were getting on their cars and they just left after a while. And it was at that time when he says that he knew that he had not only won the battle, but that he had also won the war. Church, this morning, 2025, you got to do what you got to do to protect your fellowship, your time with God. You got to do what you got to do, church, to do whatever you have to do to protect and win. Because if not, the enemy is going to win. He's going to want to go to your place, to your heart, and destroy. And the Bible says, but let your heart keep my commands. And he says, verse 2, for length of days and long life and peace, they will be added to you. Did you know, this is by the Perigo Group, only 13% of the people in the church read their Bibles every day. Now, this is important. Why? Because the enemy, the devil, he doesn't want you to know what the Bible says, what the Word of God says, what's there for you, what belongs to you. He doesn't want you to live a blessed life. He doesn't want you for your marriage to be blessed, to be a healthy marriage. He doesn't want the family, your family, to serve God. He doesn't want you. He'll do whatever he wants to wreck up your life. But again, that's why you got to protect. Amen? You got to keep. Let your heart protect. Protect your heart. And he says, for length of days and long life and peace, they will add to you. Now, let me ask you. The only reason that we're going to know what God says is if what? If we get in the Word. If we protect our time of fellowship with Him. There is no other way. If you read the Word or you listen to the Word or you hear the Word. And let me give you an example. Because the Bible says in verse 2, for length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Now see, I wouldn't know that. that the Bible says for length of days and long. How many here want length of days and long life? Amen. He says, and peace they will add to you. I would not know that if it not be in the word. If I would not read or study the word. So Psalms 34, I'm going to give you an example. Psalms 34, verse 11 and on, it says this. He says, come you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Then verse 12 says, who is the man who desires life? And it says, and loves many days that he may see good. See, I want to love many days, but I also want to see many good days. That's an example, church, of how, listen, this is wisdom right here, of how I can have length of days and a long life. What does the Bible say? I just read you that it says, who is a man who desires life? Did you notice it says, who is a man that desires? You know, there's people that don't have Christ, and they don't want life. They want to take away their life. Or have taken away their life. But see, the Bible says that God is the author of life. And it says, who is a man who desires life and loves many days? I don't know about you, church, but I love my days, or we should love our days. Amen? Because we are here on earth with a purpose. Amen? There is a destiny in your life. God is not finished with you yet. There is so much territory that God has in store for your life. And he says, who is a man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? And then he says, you know how it's going to happen? And that Psalms 34:11. Now, I'm not going to get into it, but I'm going to give you a little taste. He says, keep your tongue from evil. And your lips from speaking deceit or lies. Let me give you another example. How? Because it says, but let your heart keep my commands. Then verse 2 says, for length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. So you got to ask yourself, how can I add to my life length of days and long life? I'm going to give you an example in the New Testament. It's in the Old Testament, but Paul, he quotes it. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 and 3. Look what he says. Children, he's speaking to the children. Obey your parents in the Lord. Any children here? Let me ask you, are you obeying your parents? He says, obey your parents in the Lord. He says, for this is right. Then he says in verse 2, he's talking to the children, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Then he says, why? He says, I'm going to tell you why. He says, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. So children, you want to live well? You want it to be well with you so that you may live long here on earth? He says, honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Wisdom 2025. Look what the Psalm says in 91 verse 16. He says, with long life, I will satisfy him. God, he says, with long life, I will satisfy him. But then in verse 2, he says, for length of days and long life and peace. Now the word peace. And they will add to you. That's the word shalom. You know that, shalom. What does that mean? That means that it means to be safe. When you have peace, you are safe. When you have peace, it also means you are complete. Nothing is broken in your life and nothing is missing in your life. When you have the peace of God, I mean, you already know nothing is missing in your life. You know how bad it is, how hard it is to not have peace in your life? You know how many people don't have peace in their life? But see, with God, he says that he will add peace to you. I mean, everything could be ugly on the outside, horrible. But on the inside, you have peace. You feel complete. You have rest. Romans 15, 13, the Apostle Paul said this. Now may the God of hope. Notice he didn't say appeal. He didn't say a drink. He didn't say a movie. Come on, church, you guys are staying quiet on me. He says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now notice he says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. Then he goes on to say in verse 3, let not mercy and truth forsake you. You know that word in Hebrew, mercy, what it means? It means this, kindness. How many would need some kindness this year? Amen. I'm talking about God's kindness on your life and my life. He says, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Truth means stability. And it comes from a word that means to build up and support. Stability. He says, let not mercy and truth forsake you. He says, bind them around your neck. The meaning means, this is what it means. It means as to wear them as a special treasure on you. I remember when I was a kid, you guys remember Mr. T? Remember he had all those gold chains? I mean, that guy was wearing chains. I mean, I don't know if they were real, but they were blinging, all right? Well, Proverbs says, bind them around your neck. Bind what? He says, mercy and truth. I need God's kindness around me all the time. I need his truth around me all the time. Amen? So it means wear them as a special treasure. It means also as to keep them on your mind at all times. But how is that going to happen? Like he said in the beginning, it's keeping his word. Keeping his word. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Write them. What does that mean, write them? It needs to be stamped in your heart. And I'm going to tell you why right now. You're going to understand why. You need to write them on the tablet of your heart. In other words, you have to record it. You need to prescribe it. I encourage you, prescribe. See, because your heart, listen, church, your heart, you have to check it. I said your heart, you have to check it. You know what the Bible says about the heart? It says the heart, Jeremiah 17, 9, the heart is deceitful above all things. Forget about that little red heart. The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things. And then it says this. Look what he says. And desperately wicked. Who can know it? I mean, we already know only God knows your heart. But see, the heart is desperately wicked. That's why I said that you have to check your heart. You have to write mercy and truth, bind them around your neck. Okay, what is the heart? The heart is widely known for what? For the feelings. Hear me what I'm going to say. Feelings, the will, and even the intellect. So the heart, many believe firmly that it's talking about the soul, the heart. And I believe that. I agree with it. Why? Because I just read you that the heart is deceitful above all things. The soul, the heart is made up of three things. Intellect, which speaks about the mind, your thoughts. And those thoughts may yield or give in to unbelief and confusion. Listen to what I'm saying. The emotions. Emotions are the feelings, your temperament, your concerns, and your emotions, if they're not checked with the word of God, may yield to bitterness, lust, anger. The flesh. It also is the will. The will, which means of choices, actions, and that may yield to disobedience. See, the heart is desperately wicked. That's why it's important that you need the word of God to feed your spirit. See, if your spirit is fed with the word of God, it will affect your soul to follow God. But if your spirit is not fed, it will affect your soul, your heart, and your heart will rebel against God. That's why it is wicked. Church, check your heart. Check it. Anytime your soul wants to act up, check it with the word of God. That's why they say the heart is often considered to be the seat of the soul. Look what Proverbs 5:11-12 says. He says, and you mourn at last. He says, and you mourn at last. Look what he says. When your flesh and your body are consumed. And your body and says, how I've hated instruction. See, when your heart is rebellious, when your body is consumed, your heart, your soul will say, how I have hated instruction. You don't want the instruction of God. And then it says, and my heart despise correction. You don't want nobody correcting you. You don't want to be corrected. You jump right away. You don't want nobody to tell you anything. That's why let God check you. Bind them around your neck, the law, the word of God. Truth and mercy, carry it around you. Again, protect. Are you with me this morning? Hallelujah. Don't worry, I'm almost done. And he says, and whenever you do, bind them around your neck, mercy and truth, and you don't forsake them, but you write them in the tablet of your heart. Look what happens. Here comes the good stuff. Tell your neighbor, here comes the good stuff. Good stuff. See, that's the way God works, church. I believe what God is fair. God is just. And he says this, and so find favor and high esteem. I don't know about you, but 2025, I want the favor of God on my life. What does favor mean? Favor means graciousness and kindness. I want God's graciousness and kindness on my life. comes from a word that means to properly to bend or stoop in kindness to an inferior. In other words, God will bend over, he will stoop to kindness towards you and give you favor. Favor. His graciousness, his kindness. I want God's kindness in my walk with him. I want God's favor and gracious and kindness in my marriage. I want God's favor with my family, in my ministry, in the church. I mean, I just want God's graciousness and his kindness all over my life. How many believe that? 2025, church. God can give you favor. And matter of fact, the Bible says, he says, so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God. Not only God, but with man. Did you hear that? Not only God, but with man. God can give you favor with him and with man. I mean, you go to a restaurant, God can give you favor. At your work with your boss, God can give you favor. He can be gracious. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. But what do I mean by favor? Listen. God will give you in one day what others would have to work for 20 years. That's favor. That's God's kindness. That's where people start hating. Well, how did you do that, or how did that happen? God's favor. But now you got to ask why, though. Because I guard his word. I do his word. I'm in fellowship with God. See, that's why people start hating. Because since you serve God, you're doing the will of God, and you hustled and you did all kinds of stuff, and it took you all these years. But then somebody, a rascal, comes along and God blesses him. What did I say on Sunday? See, people can be jealous of you, but they're never jealous of how you got there. You got to ask, hey, how did you get there? God. I said, God. God. Let me give you another one. Favor, hear me. Favor will give you what money can't buy. Favor will give you what money can't buy. You hear stories. I mean, I'm sure God has done things in your life that money couldn't buy. But God's favor, the favor he gave you before man. God touched a person, somebody, to bless you. You know, the Bible talks about Jesus. When I was studying this, this came to me. Luke 2:52. Look what the Bible says about Jesus. And Jesus increased. He what? He increased. He grew, increased. See, church, we need to increase. 2025, we have to grow. We have to increase. Not decrease, increase. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature. And look what he says. And in favor with God and men. And now think about it. If Jesus, being God, he became human flesh. The Bible says that he grew. He increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. How much more us? Now, you got to ask yourself, how did he grow? Again, I was studying this. How did he grow in favor with God and men? Well, this is what I found. If you read the context, number one, he was sitting with the teachers of the law. In other words, he spent time learning, reading, studying, listening by the greatest teachers, the rabbis. Let me tell you something, church. You want to grow? Read, listen, study from the best. And most importantly, the word of God. What did he do? He was listening and asking them, here it goes, questions. When was the last time that you asked a question? Don't act like you know it all. Tell your neighbor, you don't know it all. Thirdly, when they heard Jesus, when they heard him, they were what? Astonished. Wow. Little Jesus. They were astonished when they would listen to him. I don't know if you're getting it, church. He was in the right environment. Woo! He was growing. Why? Because he was in the right environment. You want to grow this year, 2025, with the favor of God and man? You got to be in the right environment, church. That's why I said you got to protect. You got to guard. You got to remove every distraction in your life. And the Bible says, and his understanding and answers, the way he would answer. And it also says that they saw him and were amazed. And this is powerful, he says. Why? Because he was in his father's business. Church, stay in your father's business. Instead of getting other people's business, get in God's business. He said, and so find favor and high esteem. You know what high esteem means? It means intelligence and success. God can give you that. And lastly, give me 5 minutes. Lastly, look at verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. You know what that word trust means? It means to quickly go for refuge. Anytime, anything you might be facing, whatever you might be facing this year, whatever challenge that you might face this year, you got to trust God. What do I mean by that? You got to go quickly to God for refuge because he is your fortress. Run quickly and find refuge. That means that you are trusting God. Why? Because you're going to be confident, you're going to be sure, and you're going to have hope in him. That's why he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Did you get that? With all your heart. So how can I have a healthy heart? Again, the word. Renewing my soul, renewing my mind, my understanding with the word of God. That's the way I'm going to have a healthy soul. Because if I don't renew my mind with the word of God, I'm going to be rebellious. I want to do my own thing. What I think is best, what, you know, what's popular, what others do. No, you want to do what God is saying. And he says, and lean not, he says, don't lean on your own understanding. In other words, don't support yourself. Don't rely, don't rest on your own understanding. Here it goes. Are you ready for this one? But get your lean on Jesus. Hallelujah. I said, get your lean on Jesus. How do I get my lean on Jesus? I will walk in his authority. I will walk in his power. I will walk in his anointing, and I will walk in his love, and most of all, I will walk in his presence. That means I'm going to lean on Jesus. I'm going to rest, rely on Jesus. See, that's why many of you fall. I said, that's why many of you fall. Why? Because you're relying, you're leaning on yourself, your own understanding. See, some of you think you're wise and you said, I can do it without God. Better check yourself. Check that heart. Don't ever say, I can do it without God. I don't need God. I don't need Jesus. You know, the Bible says that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And lean not on your own understanding. Don't lean on your own knowledge, your own wisdom. But in all your ways, but I'm going to stop there because that's going to be for next week. I was being tempted, but. And lean not on your own understanding. Listen what this man wrote, Doug Larson. This is powerful, church. Wisdom, because that's my title, Wisdom 2025. Wisdom is the reward you get for a lifetime of listening. When you would have preferred to talk. See, there's many times that you would prefer to talk. But lifetime wisdom, the reward is this, that you listen. What did James say? Be hearers of the word. Then he said, don't just be hearers, but also be doers of the word. And then he goes on to say, be slow to what? To speak. And quick to what? To listen. The wisdom is in what? Listening. Zip. That's where the wisdom is at, church. Please stand this morning. Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us for today's message at New Generation Church. For more information, visit us at ecngchurch.com.